next on NHL Fantasy on Ice. The Golden Muzzy, Nick Alberga, gets on the horn. Dark Horse teams with fantasy value. Plus, top targets as the season winds down. And DFS picks for the Tuesday slate. It's NHL Fantasy on Ice.
We're talking fantasy pucks on this Tuesday morning. Pete and Rob here with you. It's fantasy playoff time, 8-game slate on Tuesday, and we got the Golden Muzzy on the line to help us break it all down, Rob.
What's up, Nick?
Fellas, what's going on? Nice to be with you.
Great to have you on, Nick. And, of course, Nick is a SiriusXM host for NHL Network Radio, fantasy contributor for Sportsnet, does a great job for them. So, Nick, for this playoff race in reality, I mean, there are so many dark horse teams that have been emerging in the past couple of days. I mean, the one that comes to mind after last night, Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, this team looks right back in the mix. They had a head-to-head matchup with the Arizona Coyotes, and they looked like the playoff team, not the Coyotes.
Yeah, you're exactly right on that front, and we mulled that over on Monday night on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. How many teams and how many pretenders and potential contenders there are, especially when you look at a team in, you know, in the Eastern Conference in Carolina, that proved a lot to me in the way they're able to go in there. They haven't had many blips in the last little while. I think the only one that stands to mind is what happened against Winnipeg on Friday night, but they've looked clearly past that. I still wonder if a team like Philadelphia, who's now just suddenly 3 points out, like it really is amazing how in this 3-point world teams can still be alive after they were pretty much given the final rights. A team like Philadelphia comes to mind, St. Louis in a playoff picture right now in the Western Conference. So at least there's plenty to play for, and that's what fantasy owners want this time of year, right?
Definitely is, Nick, and I'm a pretty big Philly guy myself. They've gone head-to-head with the Lightning for the best record since mid-January, so you have to think maybe if they would have made that coaching change just a little sooner, they might be in a more comfortable spot now. But two guys fantasy-wise, I like on those two dark horse teams. Number one, Perlini had a nice little hat trick last night with Stroman to bring at great exposure there. And then for Philly, I'm a big Lindblom guy. Which one do you like more out of those two?
Well, first off, you got to note the revenge there. Brendan Perlini playing the Arizona Coyotes for the first time, and he pots a hattie, and that was all about Dylan Strome that night. But clearly, Perlini had other ideas in mind. But I think to answer your question, I'm probably leaning towards Perlini when it comes to Chicago. I think, you know, the uncanny chemistry built so far again, back from their days in the OHL, when you look at DeBrincat and Strome, should be very, very favorable for Perlini. Not to mention Chicago, I still think under the radar, one of the best offensive teams in hockey, not defensive. That's going to continue to be an issue, although the last couple games they have been a bit more stifling defensively. I think when you look at Philadelphia, they're trying to find an answer in the top six, clearly. Lindblom is the next guy up, and you know, while he's produced as of late, I think if you look at Perlini, you know, the track record is longer for that player to stay in that role. But certainly two waiver guys you're going to have to look at this time of year, because things are pretty scarce on the waiver wire right now, boys.
So Nick, Chicago 5 points out, 3 straight wins, they have a game in hand, and the one you mentioned, the weak defense, weak penalty kill, Chicago Blackhawks, the one X factor is Corey Crawford. Since returning, he's won 4 of his 5 starts. His value kind of has been all over the place. I know after that he allowed 6 goals, we dropped him out of our top 25 goalie rankings, but now he looks like he might be able to make a difference here. Is he the X factor that the Blackhawks can use to finally turn things around for good?
Without question, and I'll add next year, I'm going to be all over Corey Crawford in that file because it's a contract season. I think, you know, the one thing to note, and it's pretty big, is his injury history even this year. Like, people even wondered the last concussion if he'd ever come back, so it's even miraculous he's here to begin with. But it's not a shocker in my world that Chicago's been winning tons of hockey games with Corey Crawford back. I think anytime you return from an injury that's significant, once again, you're going to go through your ups and downs. I think, you know, for the most part, Jeremy Calton, you know, didn't get the respect when he got hired, taking over, obviously, from a legend like Joel Quenneville. But I think he's done a pretty masterful job with the team he's had. There's some younger guys in the back end. They're trying to put some guys in the lineup they normally wouldn't. So all in all, it's pretty pleasing. And Corey Crawford, again, I do look at him as a bona fide threat next year and to finish off this season. I think ultimately Chicago will run out of racetrack, but it's unsurprising, I would say, that Crawford's on this type of run right now.
I just think their defense and penalty kill is going to be that liability that is going to prevent them from getting in and sneaking in there. But turning back to the Flyers, just look at their upcoming schedule. They play the Caps, Leafs, Penguins, Habs, Hawks, Islanders, Caps again, Leafs again, Hurricanes. I mean, that is just brutal. And the thing about the Flyers too, Nick, is just, like, I think they have a lot of swagger right now. Like the Jake Voracek quote, I don't know if you saw it when the Johnny Boychuk incident on Saturday, but it was a thing of beauty. Obviously, he's serving a suspension right now, hurts the team. But I really think that if Carter Hart can maybe squeak out a win in that Washington game, I think this team is going to turn a chapter, and I really think that they're going to get that second wild card spot.
You never know, and I think the way Columbus is playing right now could help that argument, and same goes to the Montreal Canadiens, although Montreal has Detroit, likely a victory coming up on Tuesday night. You know, I think when you look at Philadelphia, I still raise the question, why in the world did they acquire Cam Talbot to sit him on the bench? Like, it's so mystifying to me, that whole situation, but Brian Elliott got the call, as you know, on Monday. They etched out a victory against the Ottawa Senators, and they can only take care of what they can, and that's winning hockey game after hockey game, and then let the rest settle itself out. But I just think you get going in a catch-up game, especially when you have teams to chase, not just one team, and clearly the Montreal Canadiens and the Columbus Blue Jackets, with time of the essence. I mean, they pretty much have to, lose two or three regulation games in the next 12-13 to finish up this season, but I think you made a great point in the fact that they're right up there with Tampa for one of the best records in the NHL over the last 2.5 months. So anything's possible, and Philadelphia has done this before, right? So I wouldn't be shocked at all.
18-4-2 for Philly in the past 24 games. Not many teams can say they've been that good over that stretch. So the goaltending from here on out, you mentioned how Talbot has been a non-factor because he hasn't played. So if Carter Hart's coming back, is it Hart or is it Brian Elliott from a fantasy standpoint over this final stretch of the season, in your opinion?
It's a million-dollar question right now, and I think it showed me a bit on Monday when they elected to go to Brian Elliott. I think if he continues to win games, I think they have to go to Brian Elliott because it's tough to put Carter Hart in that situation. It's not that I don't think he's up to the task, but because you keep winning games and because Brian Elliott's been the main reason, I would say that Philadelphia has won a lot of hockey games since Carter Hart went down, didn't fold up like a cheap suit. I think you have to go back to Brian Elliott, but I think all that clearly would change with a couple of losses. How do you guys feel about it?
But that is, like, Carter Hart got this whole thing going back in January.
Exactly.
Like, he was the one that got this team. It was the spark plug. Like, they knew that playing in front of a 20-year-old netminder, they had to elevate their game. The defense had to finally step up. Provorov woke up a little bit. Gostisbehere still has another gear left. And when he gets going, I really think this team will find that next step. So I think you have to go back to Carter Hart. It's his team moving forward. And you mentioned Cam Talbot. Like, Cam Talbot next year is going to be the bona fide backup to Carter Hart. Now, is that a smart organizational decision? We've seen this with the Flyers before where they throw this young goaltender in there. They way overplay him. But, hey, from a fantasy perspective, Carter Hart's going to be a workhorse next year. Cam Talbot's going to be a backup. I have handcuff written all over that as of right now, before the playoffs are even underway.
Yeah, you know, the Talbot thing's so interesting because I truly wonder, like, if they wanted him to be the backup, why wouldn't they have re-signed him by now? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me why they've really gone hard on this Elliott file. And, you know, they know he's a UFA. They know Talbot's a UFA. And I just don't think they have their mind figured out just yet. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think they have to be very careful, by the way they handle, you know, Hart next season. There's no doubt the pedigree's there, but I think you look at the laundry list of guys before him who are a couple years older, and Connor Hellebuck with Winnipeg, you know, Gibson comes to mind, even to an extent Peter Mrazek. I think what happened to Mrazek is he was overutilized at the beginning, lost confidence and never gained it back, and, you know, is doing his thing this season with Carolina. So I think it's of vast importance if Philadelphia wants to help groom, you know, Carter Hart to that next level, upper echelon of NHL net mining. I think you have to have the right guy to go with him. And I'm not sold that maybe it's just me that they think Cam Talbot is the guy, at least right now, but maybe down the road they'll figure that out in the offseason here.
And back to Talbot's old team, the Edmonton Oilers are one of the hottest teams over the past week and a half. Does this team stand a chance? I know they're top-heavy. Drysdale's now top five in NHL scoring all of a sudden among the league leaders in goals. We have two of them, McDavid and Drysdale, in the top five overall players this upcoming week. So that speaks volumes about how potent they are any given night. Do you have any faith in the Edmonton Oilers? Because last night alone, all those teams lost in the Western Conference, right? I mean, the Coyotes, the Wild, you know, Minnesota. What do you make of this Edmonton push?
Look, it's very cute what they're doing. McDavid's having a great year. Draisaitl, you just mentioned, out to 42 goals. You know, they lost Klefbom last night. I just don't see it. Again, it's even worse than what Philadelphia is dealing with, because you have a team like Chicago to leapfrog Colorado, Arizona, and then Minnesota. You have to hope those teams, even Dallas, you know, 1 point up of Minnesota right now, you have to hope those teams are losing in regulation, not picking up points. Again, that's so difficult in this day and age. Don't forget, we have, what, roughly 12 games remaining on this season. From a fantasy perspective, I think there's a lot of value to be had right now at Edmonton. Namely, Zach Cassian has been putting up points, weirdly enough. And I went back to the well in one of my leagues this week with Mikko Koskinen. And you mentioned it, that defensively, Edmonton's been really, really strong for the last 15 games. Koskinen, won me a couple games last week. He won me a game against the New York Rangers on Monday. They have New Jersey. That's pretty much a must-win, in my opinion, and an obvious win, I think, coming up on Wednesday night against the Devils. So I think you can extract tons of value right now out of Edmonton and guys not named McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. But I just don't see the likelihood very, very strong that they make the Stanley Cup playoffs here.
I'm with you there. I think it would be really cool to see McDavid and Draisaitl back on that stage, but I'm with you on the Koskinen train. I was hyping that play up a week or two ago as well, and it's because their schedule is so much better than some of these Eastern Conference teams. Like, Mrazek is another guy Pete and I were high on, but when you look at Carolina's schedule, it's the same thing. You're not really sure if you can roll him out against a Tampa Bay, against a Toronto. Speaking of Toronto, though, Nick, you witnessed it firsthand last night. Lightning came in, shut that thing down. What do you make of the Leafs over the last 2 weeks of the regular season?
It's a really good question. You know, I'll preface by saying I still feel like Tampa's the runaway favorite to win the Stanley Cup, and I still think they're going to steamroll Boston in the second round. Like, none of my opinion has changed at all. I think the two things to look at from the Maple Leafs perspective is, you know, I think it's tough to play with urgency this time of year. You know, you're likely playing Boston in the first round. And don't overlook the fact that Jake Gardiner and Travis Dermott are out of the lineup right now. The guys they have in the 5-6 hole right now are probably not NHL defensemen, in Oshiganov and Martin Marincin. And I think that's two huge losses, clearly, for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, you know, Nazem Kadri comes back to the lineup. He adds a bit more stability, clearly, to the third line and spaces things out a bit more. But I think that's why Toronto's been sort of up and down the last little while, is defensively speaking. It's tough to roll guys out in your 5-6 and pairing who are not NHL defensemen who are getting worked on a nightly basis. So it's something they're going to have to figure out. I think they're going to need Jake Muzzin to play much better than he has so far since coming over from the LA Kings. But I do not like Toronto's chances even of getting out of the first round. I think the true X factor in a potential series with Boston will be Austin Matthews, just more so because they acquired John Tavares. And then you get into the matchup game with Boston. We all know their number one line. Who are they going to match up against? Is it going to be Matthews? Is it going to be Tavares? And I think that'll free up the other center, clearly, in the top six. And Matthews, you know, for the most part, has really hasn't been the same player in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I know the game changes a lot, but can he take his game to the next level? If he can, then there's a potential the Leafs get out of the first round against Boston. I still think it goes 6 or 7, clearly. But again, far and away, Tampa flex the muscles again. It's not an excuse world, guys. They came back from the West Coast. Normally teams do struggle coming back, and the flu bug going through that locker room, but it's not excuses. Like, I'm not shocked at all that Tampa steamrolled them. That team is unbelievable.
I think, too, like, Toronto's just under too much of a microscope up there to fly under the radar right now. Like, if we're talking about their fifth and sixth pairing guys, like, I get that, but come playoff time, Babcock needs to play Matthews 20-plus and Tavares 20-plus, and then Kadri can clean up around 15 minutes per game. In that scenario, I have them beating Boston. The reason why I'm on the Toronto bandwagon, I'm not worried about the fifth and sixth blue liner. I think Boston's injury problem right now, they fear Jake DeBrusk could have a fracture in that foot. David Krejci, I'm sorry, as good as he's been playing lately, he is not a player that's going to produce at this place in the playoffs without wings on his side.
Yeah, you're not wrong in that front. And, you know, I think you are right that Toronto can't go under the radar. I mean, it's all they talk about on a daily basis in this market is what's going to happen in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, the constant narrative is they're not heavy enough, which I totally agree with. I think they will be overmatched physically by Boston in the first round. But skill-wise, they clearly have the upper hand. And David Krejci's been unbelievable, guys, this season. You know it as best as anybody else. The numbers are pretty spectacular. I was going over the fact that he could potentially hit you know, a high he hit 10 years ago. Like, that's a long time ago. It's just been a super offensive year, and that's always the key for Boston because we know normally what they're going to get from their top line. But depth scoring, can they step in? Marcus Johansson, you mentioned, banged up since coming over from New Jersey. DeBrusk could be the huge one there, and the matchup game is going to be pivotal. And then the goaltending. You know, Tuukka Rask has been on this incredible run, second year in a row that he's doing this. And, you know, Frederik Andersen had his issues again in last year's Stanley Cup playoffs. And you can pretty much say that narrative for any goalie until they win, you know, and go far in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But to me, at least, and I'm not biased, I just think it's one of the more intriguing first-round series already set up is Boston and Toronto, just because of that budding rivalry over the last couple of years.
So the Bruins, who you mentioned, David Krejci on a four-game goal streak, they played Columbus on Tuesday night. Columbus on a second of a back-to-back. They played really well but got shut out again against the New York Islanders. I was at the game. They played well. What's your pulse on this game, and which way are you leaning towards?
I'm going with Boston, boys. Columbus is finished in my world. It's so tough, and my perfect comparison and correlation is St. Louis. Look how long it took the Blues, who changed like 17 guys, it seemed, in the offseason. And while they stacked a pretty decent team, it takes a lot to build chemistry. And, you know, I think Jarmo Kekalainen was weighing with that internally as well. If, you know, if I go out there and get DeZingle and Duchesne and maybe some other guys, and McWade comes in there too, how long will it take to build some chemistry? But I, for one, am shocked that it's offensively that Columbus is having its issues and not defensively. I think for the most part, the goaltending's been okay. But when you have guys, that, you know, like, you know, Panarin, Dubois, Atkinson, Duchesne in your top six, and you're shut out three of the last six games, I don't like your prospects of making the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's getting bleaker and bleaker by the day, and not to mention they have Boston a couple times in the next week, and that's one of the hottest teams in hockey. So good luck to the Columbus Blue Jackets, but there's just something off there, guys. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's Matt Duchesne and his inability to make the Stanley Cup playoffs and win hockey games these days. You have to feel bad for him that everywhere he goes, he can't win and make the playoffs, but that team is running out of games, aren't they?
Ask Patrick Waugh if he feels bad about Matt Duchesne right now. But that's turning the focus away from some of those more high-profile teams. A sneaky team I like down the stretch, Nick, is the Vancouver Canucks. They have 13 games left, including a 9-home game and a 4-road game split. And their winning percentage of opponents is only 527. So that's pretty favorable, probably top five remaining teams. They've got Quinn Hughes in the lineup now. He's nursing a little bit of a foot thing. He can only play 9 games. But is that a player you'd pick up? And do you buy into this Vancouver team for a little sneaky value here?
I don't think they're going to be great down the stretch. I think Quinn Hughes is going to bring a lot to the table. You know, the last I heard, I'm pretty connected to his trainer, actually, is that it's not a broken foot. They'll know more probably today and find out if he'll be able to make his debut coming up on Wednesday. But no doubt when he gets in this lineup, a bona fide stud already, I think, on the back end. And you look at guys like Tomas Chabot. I think you look at that type of production probably next season. I think he's going to have a hot finish to this year. Wouldn't shock me at all if, you know, he gets tons of exposure to that, you know, top six that Vancouver entails already, especially Elias Pettersson, Brock Besser. That power play should get a massive boost already. And I think you have some value plays clearly right now in a Josh Levo, who's looked pretty decent, in my opinion, since coming over from the Maple Leafs to the Vancouver Canucks. He's got that garden seat right now with Pettersson and Besser. And I think we'll see plenty of Thatcher Demko down the stretch as well. I do like the future. It is pretty bright in Vancouver, but I'm not sure they're going to be great to wrap up this season, guys. I think they've really hit a wall, to be quite frank about it.
And, Nick, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Tarasenko injury. So he's going to be out for at least the next 10 days. Do you go in-house to replace him with the St. Louis Blues, maybe with a Jaden Schwartz who's in a bad slump, or a rookie Robert Thomas who might get a look on that line? Or do you go outside the picture and maybe look for a LeBanc or a Svechnikov? He just had a big game on the second line for Carolina.
Yeah, Svechnikov is a sneaky guy. It seems like everybody wants to go around the New York Rangers this week. Vlad Nemestikov, Ryan Strome. I mean, those are always risky at you know, in their own right. I think you look at a team like Arizona, people are all over them this week. You know, clearly Michael Grabner is a look, but how often is he playing in a top six role? You know, there are several guys, even a Jake Chychrun on the back end, I think could be of importance this week in the fantasy world. And Christian Dvorak is another guy. He's only played a handful of games, but he's been producing, got another point on Monday. When it comes to Vladimir Tarasenko, it was so unfortunate because I own him like all four of my leagues, and you know he's been so hot, but I had to boot him off my roster. I'm in one of those leagues where the finals is going to be next week anyway, so I'm probably going to have him for one game at best. Something tells me this is going to be longer than the week and a half stretch that they've already put forth. So I think internally is probably your best answer, Pete. You know, Schwartz, or you know, I mentioned in my 20 thoughts on Sunday that Robert Thomas has been making a push forward and potentially could be emerging as a promotion candidate to play with O'Reilly and Shen if Schwartz doesn't work out. Because let's not forget, a couple weeks back, Shen was out of the lineup and Schwartz was with O'Reilly and Tarasenko and really wasn't putting up the numbers. So I wouldn't even be shocked if Thomas starts the next game with O'Reilly and Shen. They go to Schwartz, Bozak, and Maroon on the second line. But I think to look internal is probably your best option, because the other guys you find in the waiver wire, there's always risk involved. Like, again, you try to manipulate the schedule the best you can this time of year in the fantasy world, but you're living on a prayer considering what's on the waiver wire these days, and you got to do your best to extract value.
All right, Nick, well, let's try and extract that value tonight, starting with Robert Thomas, because I heard he is skating on that top line. So I will circle back to you if that pick lets me down in my fantasy playoffs, but thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, no problem. They got a hungry Arizona team coming off a disappointing loss against Chicago 7-1. So it's so hard to figure out in the betting world anyways, but thanks for having me, boys.
So that was Nick Alberga, SiriusXM Sportsnet. Find his writing there. Does a great job. He was not high on Quinn Hughes, did not seem to trust the Vancouver Canucks. I would beg to differ. I think they have some real upside, not only in the games remaining, also in the strength of schedule and the input of Quinn Hughes into their lineup.
I'm with you, and that's a team that has always played hard this season. They've played the right way. They've tried to win games. They're well coached. I'm with you, Pete. I think Quinn Hughes, if healthy, he steps in. I listened to Jim Benning, their GM, yesterday speak. He said he's going to have a power play role. Right now, it's been Alexander Edler. It's been Alex Biega, who's putting up some sneaky points, Pete. If you need a defenseman, maybe target him. But Quinn Hughes is the guy I have my radar on. He is going to be a big-time player in this league. And I would say, if you need a defenseman in a deeper league right now, that extra playoff push, pick up Quinn Hughes. If you make it to the semis or the finals, he's going to make a difference.
Probably going to be cheap if he makes his NHL debut on Wednesday against the New York Rangers. Favorable opponent, low ownership in Yahoo. He is in the system, so go out and add him right now with the power play opportunity to play with a Brock Besser, Elias Pettersson, Bo Horvat, and company.
Other must-add players on my radar, Pete. I've got Jared McCann for the Pittsburgh Penguins, Travis Sanheim for the Philadelphia Flyers, and Kevin Take-It-To-The-Bank LeBanc for the San Jose Sharks. But let's start with Jared McCann. He had two goals versus the Bruins on Sunday. He's skating with Sid the Kid. This is a must-add player, am I right?
We hit a home run with him last week. They played four games. He had a two-goal game on Sunday. They beat the Bruins. I mean, what's not to like? He's stuck on that line. We put him in the top 200 last week. Now we have him in the top 100 forwards. He gained left wing eligibility. Everything is coming into fruition for this guy. Short-term streaming option, but sometimes those help you bring home the hardware.
And it's interesting that he is more relevant than the Nick Bjugstad is, and we were coining this as the Nick Bjugstad trade. So just take that for what it's worth there.
It's amazing. I mean, sometimes there's always a little sleeper throw into a deal. You know, there was the Strome-Perlini trade, and of course, Perlini's the guy who shows up his old team, so a great storyline there, and just shows that we can never, right, even the Charlie Coyle trade, we thought he might play on the second line, then it becomes Donato all of a sudden playing on the first line, and scratching fantasy relevance for Minnesota.
That's the funniest thing. We were calling that one the Charlie Coyle trade too, but now we're all calling it the Ryan Donato trade. So funny how quickly things can change. But Jared McCann's Pittsburgh Penguins are going to take on the Washington Capitals. The Penguins will be at home for that matchup. Two big time players in the fantasy world going for milestones tonight. We have Ovi going for point 1,200. Oh my God. And then we have Evgeny Malkin going for point 1,000. Just knowing those two players, Pete, I think they're both hitting their milestones tonight.
I agree. I think Malkin will get there. I mean, the Penguins have looked really strong lately. I mentioned they beat the Bruins. They've been really, even with the absence of Chris Letang, this is really telling. This is not going to be an easy team to beat in a seven-game series. And I think with Pittsburgh, once again, having four games this week, excluding Monday, only a few teams have that. I have them here. Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Buffalo, Dallas, New Jersey, and Anaheim. I mean, to me, St. Louis without Tarasenko, I would put all my eggs in Pittsburgh's basket for this week.
I will say for this matchup in particular, though, tonight, Tom Wilson is living rent-free in PPJ Paints Arena. He's living rent-free in their GM's mind, in Jamie Oleksiak's mind. So he's got a lot of real estate there in Pittsburgh. He is the landlord. He's coming to town. His price tonight, $5,100. That is, to me, a lineup lock.
I think a lineup lock is Nicklas Backstrom, who has been out of this world over the past week or two of the season. They've kind of jockeyed all season between Backstrom, Kuznetsov. Depends who they're playing with, but Backstrom's doing it on the power play. The Caps are rolling right now. I would get Backstrom into my lineup, and then I would get McCann or maybe a Patrick Hornquist into my lineup on Pittsburgh's side. But yeah, Malkin's going to be expensive. Ovi's going to be expensive. Maybe you build your lineup around one of those guys. Probably going to be tough to get both in.
I'm with you on that. Pick your poison out of those. They're certainly going to deliver. Now, Carey Price and the Habs are going against the Red Wings tonight without Dylan Larkin. We've talked about Dylan Larkin at length. Let's talk about the Canadiens. What is your pulse? Can they make the playoffs, or are they out?
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I'm done with Jonathan Drouin. He's had a nice season. That team overall has exceeded my expectations by a wide margin. That said, I do not think they're getting back into the mix. I know that I just think Columbus is too talented to miss, and they're not talented enough. They have the goaltending, but where's the scoring coming from consistently from anybody other than Brendan Gallagher? I don't see it.
That being said, if Carey Price stands on his head, which he is fully capable of down the stretch here, and they get into that second wild card spot, I really feel, Pete, and this, I might be completely out of left field, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but Carey Price is the goaltender that the Lightning would not want to face in round one. We've seen this Habs team do this in round one before, where they shut things down and they make it very hard to play against. I know they don't have the offense to go along with Nick Kucherov and Steven Stamkos and Braden Point and Victor Hedman, but I do think if they find a way to get in, the Habs will make it a close sort of game-by-game series. Maybe they do lose in five, but I really think that that would be entertaining for hockey fans to watch.
I do think they would lose in five, but Price might keep them in two or three of those games. So yeah, that would be a bad scenario. That's probably what maybe a Boston or a Toronto is hoping for in terms of the potential first round opponent for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Hopefully it's Carey Price. Hopefully it gives them some fits. They could get in. I mean, I think for Columbus, they've just been knocking at the door now for a few games now. I think that was really a nice sign that they beat Pittsburgh on the second end of that back-to-back. Last night, they hit three posts. Cam Atkinson hit two. Atkinson's playing so well right now. They had Duchesne on that second line with Josh Anderson and Ryan Dezingle. And Pierre-Luc Dubois also has bounce-back potential for the Blue Jackets, who are playing against the Boston Bruins, second of a back-to-back. But those are some guys I would look at to potentially bounce back.
I was just going to say, though, how can you take the Jackets against the Bruins tonight, who have been sitting in Columbus waiting?
It's tough. I mean, the Bruins just had their 19-game point streak snapped on the second of back-to-back on Sunday against the Penguins after beating Ottawa the previous day. So Boston probably going to win the game. I could see Columbus, though, putting up a fight, maybe taking the game to overtime and getting a well-deserved point here.
And then let's talk briefly about the Sharks visiting the Jets. The Sharks are on their second of a back-to-back, so they might be a little gassed there. The Jets look a little hot and cold lately. We mentioned their second line with Kevin Hayes now is sort of a boom or bust from fantasy. Can you stack these guys, or is it just too hit or miss?
I'm looking at Joe Thornton for this game. He's playing with Kevin LeBanc. LeBanc, by the way, has 17 power play points after having like 14 or 15 last year. I remember Pete DeBoer called him an elite power play point producer a couple of weeks ago. I mean, this guy's the real deal. He's one of the most underrated players in the league.
But what about Kevin Hayes?
I don't trust that line. They've had two multi-point games so far since the Hayes trade in about five or six games, but everything else has been goose eggs. It's mm-hmm. Ehlers, it's Hayes, Kyle Connor. I would be more inclined to spend up for one of the big dogs, a Wheeler, a Laine, or a Mark Scheifele. I'm not trusting. I've gotten burned in the past by Ehlers, even for a moderate price, where he just gets you no points, no shots. I like the player. I just don't love the consistency at all.
I'm with you 100% on that. And I think Kevin LeBanc for $5,100 is a player that you've got to have in your lineup, regardless of who they're playing, how good their opponent is, if they're on the second of a back-to-back or they're not. You need that first power play exposure. And Erik Karlsson, the latest update there is, they're not going to rush him back this regular season. To me, that's pretty much wrap the bow, move on from that one. It's over for Erik Karlsson there until the playoffs start.
And we should mention, so say you're in a season-long league, you have an Erik Karlsson, you have a Dustin Byfuglien, you have a Tarasenko, someone that you don't know if they're going to even play at all in 2 weeks from now, let alone this week. And if you're in a head-to-head and you need to cut the cord, I would advise you to do so. I think that you need to do anything that you can to get through the weekly matchup. And I wouldn't want to have somebody sitting on the table, but then you don't even get there to next week or 2 weeks from now.
And there's guys like Brent Seabrook, Quinn Hughes, Travis Sanheim, Nate Schmidt. Those names are out there in a lot of leagues. You cannot miss by adding a player like that. They're not going to hurt you in any categories.
So looking to other picks for Tuesday night, this one jumped out at both of us. Matthew Tkachuk coming off a hat trick, $5,600 in FanDuel on the second line for Calgary at home against the Devils. This is slam dunk territory.
The second line is starting to produce. This is great news for the Calgary Flames and for fantasy owners alike. I'm very big on Matthew Tkachuk, and I reckon you could even get a cheap stack going with either center Mikhail Backlund or wing Michael Frolik. It's just one of those kind of contrarian plays that you can double down on the Matthew Tkachuk thing and say that their second line is going to score big time against this depleted Devils roster.
Now, another potentially lopsided matchup, Dallas Stars at Buffalo Sabres. Ben Bishop's been playing out of this world. He's confirmed for this game. He's expensive, but coming off back-to-back shutouts, and the Sabres are absolutely reeling. Jack Eichel suspended 2 games. They got shut out against the Colorado Avalanche. What an absolute bummer. Is Ben Bishop a guy that is an absolute lock this game?
He'll win the game, but I don't like his price. It's way too high, $9,200. I have no flexibility to get big names like Ovi, Malkin, even like a Krejci for $6,200. I have no flexibility there. I'm going cheap on the slate tonight, and I'll turn it back to the Flames here. I like either Riddick or Smith. Riddick is $8,000. Smith is $7,900. That is over $1,000 and change cheaper than Ben Bishop. Now, the only question for the Flames, Pete, the rest of the season, I've had so many people asking me, should I be starting David Riddick or should I be starting Mike Smith for the remainder of the season? I honestly have no idea what to tell him.
It's a tough one. I mean, I would lean Mike Smith. I think the guy has something to prove in a contract year. Older guy, had a lot of the odds against him this year, even during the season when Riddick started so strong. But yeah, and then I'm looking at the Coyotes on the second of a back-to-back. I'm really interested to see how they respond at the St. Louis Blues without Tarasenko. I'm looking at Jacob Chychrun as a value pick. Nick mentioned him earlier in the show. He's been producing lately, and he's quietly on that power play one with Ekman-Larsson and Clayton Keller.
And don't forget about the Anaheim Ducks out west. Last game on the slate. Look at Troy Terry for $4,200 there. 2 3-point games last week, Pete. That is a player that's got to be on your radar.
They're playing really well right now. They absolutely demolished Montreal the other day, scored 8 goals. Terry, a big part of that. He's a rookie eligible player. There's also Jacob Silverberg, who has that contract extension now in his back pocket. He's been playing well, very well, ever since then. 5-game point streak.
So slot the Ducks in as a sneaky team down the stretch where there is some untapped value. But that'll do it for us. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes, stream on Spotify, Stitcher, Audioboom, wherever you get your pods. And if we've made you a little bit of money so far, Pete, I think we could get maybe a 5-star review from the folks.
And it's the fantasy playoffs, so hit us up with your last-minute questions. NHL Reese for Rob, NHL Jensen for myself. Thanks again to Nick Alberga at the Golden Muzzy for coming on the show today, and we'll talk to you again later in the week. Thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.